You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I am Kristen, and I'm here with my co-host Liza and Connie Siskowski, who is the founder and president of the American Association of Caregiving Youth. Right before the break, Connie, I was asking you about what can the greater community do to support kids that we know are youth caregivers.
So, this issue crosses over several segments, several systems of care, mm-hmm. our healthcare, our education, our community, as well as legislation. So the more an individual, once they hear about this, can become informed, I think the better. We're working with some medical students and doctors to get this recognized when they do a history, to educate teachers. So that they can recognize the kids and know that if they come late to school, they shouldn't get detention
right.
without understanding why are they late. You know, I'm late because I took my mom to dialysis. Mm-hmm. You know, should that not be excused?
Exactly. So great point. And I think one of the things that is important to bring up is that this can also look different in different cultures. Can you address that a little bit, please?
Sure. So while the impact on the children is the same, you know, no matter if they're in the military or caring for a parent or a grandparent, in whatever country, the global effects are the same. But culturally, especially within Hispanic population, mm-hmm. There's a sense that family has to care for them. And even Afro-Americans don't like to have their family members in a facility.
Sure.
And many don't have long-term care insurance. So, mm-hmm. But they don't have the realization of what happens to the children when they are in this role. So, and there can be many positive outcomes as a result of being caregiving youth if you are supported. So I tell one of the boys a couple of years ago who graduated, who's now in graduate school in California, had said, you know, I came to realize how much more I knew about life and understood than my peers.
Oh, sure.
So that's one thing. You know, you learn time management. Mm-hmm. There's a national effort to teach children empathy. I think caregiving youth could teach other kids empathy.
They could probably teach some adults.
Yeah.
How to be a little bit more empathetic.
I don't want to go there.
Okay. That's legitimate. But a good point that there really is, I mean, you have to grow up fast. And so there is going to be some level of maturity and skills that these youth are going to be bringing into their young adulthood and as they grow up. And I think it's fascinating that you're doing research on them.
Well, and you know what, if you don't have time to be a kid, you know, maybe that's part of the genesis of midlife crisis, you know,
oh,
you
sure.
still need that as part of your development.
Great point. Great connection.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I never thought about that until this moment.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. Well, going back a little bit to the advocacy part, I know that you mentioned that you do some advocacy work. What changes would you like to see at a governmental level to support these kids?
I would like to see the recognition of their role, and just like their special supports for children who are homeless mm-hmm. or children who are in foster care, there needs to be special support for children, especially those who deliver the highest levels of responsibility or the most intense care. Those that spend at least 20 hours a week, mm-hmm. which are those kids that are in our program in addition to being a student. So, you know, our ultimate goal is that no child in our country should have to drop out of school because of family caregiving responsibilities.
Well, Connie, that's a really good point. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm thinking now as a high school teacher, how many students have come through my classroom and I only know if they self-disclose. And sometimes right. it's been because we've ended up in a crisis situation. The kid has been absent. There's been so much missing work and it's been, you know, a one-on-one conversation where I've said, what is going on? And then they start sharing what is going on. And I say, oh, wow, we need to make some real adjustments here. You are living a very intense, overwhelming life. We don't need all of these, you know, assignments from you. Let's do this instead, you know, and I can be flexible. And it's not that I'm lowering my standards. It's just kind of the other things that you just described, recognizing that different people have different burdens that can affect how they show up and perform in a very traditional school system. And flexibility is something that these kids need.
They absolutely do. There was a study of young adults who dropped out of school, and 22% said it was to care for a family member.
Oh.
And we as a country, as a society, need kids to be able to graduate from high school. They can earn more taxable income. They don't, you know, there's more teen crime and pregnancy and disease if you drop out of school. So, and ultimate system dependency. Mm-hmm. So these children deserve to be all that they can be and achieve success both academically and personally.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I came across that statistic myself. And again, it's like I never really thought of that. You kind of have that negative stereotype that the kids are juvenile delinquents, or there's a reason that no, they could be caring for somebody else, and that's all that they have to give. There's nothing left, and that is definitely sad, and work needs to be done to support these kids. And I guess that kind of goes to my next question. If you had a magic wand or unlimited time and resources, excuse me, what would you do to help support the youth caregivers, or what would a dream outcome look like to you?
I think having caregiving youth be normalized, that we're seeing more and more in our country, and having legislation and support for them, maybe reimagining high school, providing them the support that they need, and that's individual for their family, as well as value and recognition, like us awarding community service hours for the work that they're doing at home. You know, that there's no cost to the government. There's no cost, except maybe, you know, for some of our time to do that. But let's give these kids the recognition and support that they deserve.
Well, and going back to this role of being a teacher, I'm thinking about how during the pandemic, we were able to start thinking more flexibly, and we gave credit to students that were doing work because it was work credit experience that typically if we'd all been in the buildings and they had a full school day, they wouldn't have needed those credits. But because of all of the stuff that was happening to time and people's ability to actually show up virtually, we started getting creative with how we could actually give credits for some of their work experience. And I'm thinking right now, wow, we should be doing that, not just community service hours, but some of these kids who are most likely going to go on to become nurses and doctors and, you know, nursing assistants. I mean, there's programs that we can do here in Madison through Madison College, which is one of our technical schools, yeah, so that the students can be getting the CNA license much faster, right, than at waiting to graduate from high school and then starting it. So
yeah,
that's
experience learning. And then when they go on to post-secondary education, they can have a job that has flexibility and they can earn an income.
Right. But they're also ahead of the game because they've used some of their high school time to get some of that certification work out of the way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's lots that we can do creatively and we would love to be able to just package what we're doing and share it. But for somebody else to be able to take this on, you need to have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And without the resources, you know, it's like the chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
We need the resources for people in other places. There are many organizations that support adult family caregivers.
This is true.
And so for them to expand to supporting caregiving youth, it seems like it would be reasonable and easy, but they still need the dollars, you know. And right now we have waiting lists for adult family caregivers to get support. So if money comes from the federal government, it's got to be targeted to the children so it doesn't get lost.
That's a great point.
Of services for adults.
Right, exactly. Not only do we need to be flexible in these outside institutions and systems, but we also need to be flexible within the caregiving institution or system, because everything I've been thinking about up until this point has always been adult family caregivers. I haven't even thought about this unknown group of youth caregivers that should also be getting the same kind of things I'm asking for as a family caregiver.
Yeah. I just can't think. Thank you, honestly, enough for being a voice for these children. I mean, they can't do this on their own. You know, how could they possibly advocate on a governmental level and go to school and take care of somebody? So thank you so much for the work that you do. And I'm sure a lot of it has to be hard and challenging, but I'm just curious, what is some of your most rewarding experiences that you've gotten through this? There's got to be plenty of moments of joy.
Oh, there are. And, you know, seeing kids graduate and go on to become successful, mm-hmm. Keeping in touch with them and seeing how they're doing. But also the little things, like one of the things we provide is tutoring. And that's been so important, especially with COVID slide, you know, yeah. when the kids had to learn virtually and they couldn't. And even you hear from parents, you know, I had D's and C's and now I'm getting A's and B's. And we do people tutoring, not online, because, you know, if you don't know what you don't know, how do you know what to ask for online tutoring?
Exactly.
So we've really worked hard to do that, as well as having people step up to be mentors to kids, not only caregiving youth, but any child, because you have so much to share as an adult with a child, particularly if you know that child's single mom is home in bed, who is there to provide that guidance for the child? We had a dad, an older dad, you know, can you help take my daughter to get a bra? You know, I don't know how
to do it. Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's these little things that are basic, that are important.
But they're big milestones in individual kids' development and family development. That's beautiful. I want to echo what Liza said. I want to thank you very much, Connie. I mean, just the level of awareness that you've increased with me today has been amazing. And I wonder what's ahead? What's ahead for this association? You've got a couple minutes here to be able to explain that, but I want to end on a note where we can let you give voice to what you want to see continue.
We want to see our work continue. We want to see, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we just got word today that a formal request has been made to the GAO to do another national study on caregiving youth and how important that is, because everyone is data driven. So we need that national data.
Connie, what's the J? What did you just say?
GAO.
Yeah, it's okay. That's the problem, right? Acronyms stop us. You don't need to tell me what the exact acronym is, but what are they going to do?
It was from the Department of Education to fund a study of caregiving youth across the country.
Got it, which is excellent. Because like you said, they're data-driven. So we need some
like the government accounting office.
There we go. There we go. Nice job.
And being, you know, from the education, I'll send you the press release when we get off.
Oh, that'd be great.
And have that information.
Wonderful. Yes. And then before we run out of time, I just want you to quickly tell us again where listeners can find you, your website, and then the Caregiving Youth Conference. Just to recap on that.
Right. So our website is aacy.org. I would encourage you to go to the video section. There's many videos of children as well as podcasts and things like that, so that you can learn more, and articles. Our conference is next Thursday, April 21st. There's also information on our website at aacy.org. You can reach me at info@aacy.org.
Well, Connie, this has been a very, very interesting and enlightening conversation with you. I hope that next week's conference is successful, and thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you, Connie. I have been excited all week to be able to talk to you and listen and learn more. The work that you're doing is fascinating and so needed, and we just can't thank you enough for your time.
Well, thank you so much for helping to raise awareness, because that's really key.
Yes.
In our society.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Yeah.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we'll be back after this short break.